Hey, as you are finding your seats, just a couple of announcements. One, tonight I'll be teaching the first session on Introduction to the Gifts. Then we're going to have a short break. It'll be 10 minutes or less. I know that your spirit is willing, but your bladder may not be. So we're going to take that 10-minute break. And I saw Nick up here. Nick, are you here? Nick, could we make sure that we get the bathrooms going into the coffee thing open for the break as well? Okay, so lots of bathrooms. That shouldn't take too long. Then Dave's going to come back. He's going to talk about the role of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then we're going to finish. Mark DuPont will be with us. And he will be leading us in a time of ministry. So we're hoping that's going to be really exciting. If you have questions, email your questions to fccanswers@gmail.com, or you can write them on the slips of paper and put them in the question boxes near the entrance. The final session, it's a bonus session. We're going to have a panel, and we will choose questions, particularly the ones that show up the most, and we'll answer those questions. So your question may or may not get answered out there, but we hope you do that. All righty, let's go ahead and get started with introduction to the spiritual gifts. Now, do you know, I once preached a four-part series on the spiritual gifts, and I'm going to try to cover the spiritual gifts in one section tonight. So I will tell you, we are going to move fairly quickly, but you got some good notes. I hope you take some prizes. You can go ahead and start the timer there. Back at the sound booth, you can go ahead and start the timer. Okay. First of all, life requires a lot more than what we have in our own natural wisdom or strength. Therefore, God gives us grace, gifts of grace, supernatural help, so that we can overcome and succeed. And one form of God's grace gifts are what we call spiritual gifts. And one of the best places to start studying spiritual gifts is, of course, 1 Corinthians 12. What I'm going to do tonight is we're going to exegetically go through 1 Corinthians 12 and then Romans 12, the gifts that are there. You'll see they're very different. And it's important that you have a solid foundation in understanding what the spiritual gifts are, what they're not, how they operate, and how you can be effective with them. So let's start with 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 2. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were, here it is, led astray to the mute or the dumb idols. However, you were led. The idols couldn't speak, but you were having spiritual experiences, and you were being spiritually led. Now, the first verse says God doesn't want us unaware or uninformed about spiritual gifts. You know, God is not honored when we don't think about spiritual gifts, don't understand spiritual gifts, when whole churches don't talk about spiritual gifts or practice spiritual gifts. You see, spiritual gifts are key to God's purpose for us as Christians, and the kingdom of God will never advance on our own wisdom or our own methodologies. We need the gifts of the Spirit to move the kingdom ahead. But look at verse 2. We find out that even though spiritual gifts are powerful and necessary, they come with a warning right there. It says, remember when you were pagans, you were led astray to the mute idols. However, you were led. So spiritual gifts have counterfeits. And these pagans in their false religions had fantastic ecstatic trances and visions, and they shook and all those kinds of things, but they were false. Corinth was filled with mediums and soothsayers and false prophets. And so the people that had all these false experiences, they wanted to know how they could judge what was true. They needed a guideline. And so Paul is going to give us guidelines in 1 Corinthians 12 and then Romans 12 to understanding them. Here's a simple rule, simple rule that we need to remember as Christians. Anything in life that is valuable will be counterfeited. So if there's money, you know there's going to be counterfeit money. If art is valuable, then you know there's going to be counterfeit paintings. Or what do they call them? Forgeries. There you go. Anything in life that's valuable will be counterfeited. So if there's true spiritual gifts and there's real spiritual experience with the Holy Spirit, we know that there will be counterfeits because that's the way that it goes. So therefore, everything, we've got to be good at testing and discerning. Tonight I'll be talking about an overview of the spiritual gifts, and tomorrow I'll be talking more about what verse 2 says, how you discern. So let's go to verse 3. Everything must be tested. And here he goes. Here's the first test. And the only one he's going to give us here, it's kind of a basic to all the spiritual tests in the New Testament. But he says, therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And so the first test is a doctrinal test. Now, get that in mind. The first test, doctrine matters. And the doctrinal test is, are they lifting up the Jesus that the apostles taught us in the New Testament? And the second thing is, are they lifting up this Jesus as he explains himself, the true Jesus? And are the gifts and experiences leading us to more and more into the authority of Jesus, which includes the authority of his word and his teachings? And it includes the authority of his body. How many know Jesus is still on the earth today? He's got a spiritual body. And so true experiences, true spiritual gifts should lead us to hold up the word of God more, to be more of a disciple of Jesus, to pursue holiness, and we should begin to yield and fit in more and more to the body of Christ. Let's go to the next verses. We're going to run through, like I said, the whole thing is exegetical tonight. And let's read verse 4 through 6. It pictures how the three members of the Trinity work together in giving us spiritual gifts. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries in the same Lord. And there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. And so the three members of the Trinity work together. First of all, gifts come from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit distributes the gifts. And then it says that ministries are assigned by Jesus Christ. And then it says the end effect. How many of God is sovereign? The end effect is determined by God. So all three are involved. The Holy Spirit gives gifts, but Jesus Christ is the one who assigns ministries, and the effects and end results are always with God. Now, there's a difference between receiving the spiritual gifts and being appointed to a ministry. Now, it's in the nature of a gift that it is undeserved. You do not qualify for a gift. You don't have to be really good to get a gift. It doesn't say anything about the kind of person you are. It's a gift. Now, the greatest spiritual gift you can ever receive is what? Salvation. Salvation is a spiritual gift of eternal life. And how many of you know you didn't earn that? You didn't deserve that. And that's true of all the other spiritual gifts. You don't have to attain to any level of maturity or righteousness to receive the spiritual gifts. God does the supernatural through very, very ordinary and even very broken people. But ministry is different. The Holy Spirit gives as a gift. but ministry is appointed by Jesus on the basis of your faithfulness. So if you're faithful, he enlarges your ministry. If you're not faithful to Jesus, he takes away your ministry. Giftedness, and by the way, people can operate with spiritual gifts even after Jesus has removed them from their ministry. Therefore, this is very important. Giftedness is not an indicator that somebody is trustworthy. Just because somebody manifests some kind of what appears to be supernatural gifts doesn't mean that you should necessarily trust them. I remember a few years ago, somebody came up to me. They had somebody that was at work with them. And they were so impressed because this person would come to work and would tell them about all these healings that he'd done and all these amazing things that he'd done. And so my friend said to me, we should have this guy at Foothills. And I said, well, I'll consider it. Ask him who his pastor is, and I'll call him, and I'll find out whether he's a faithful man, whether he's trustworthy. Of course, I wasn't surprised at all to find out that he didn't attend any church, that at one time he had been on staff at a church but had been asked to step down because Jesus took away his ministry. And so I said, if he was asked to step down from a ministry, then we won't have him. And as the months went back, I began to hear more and more stories about this guy. And he actually led some people down some bad paths and got people in some spiritual trouble. So that's so ministry is different than gifts. Now we're going to go to verse 7. Okay? And we're going to circle three phrases or words in verse 7. I want you to circle the words, each one. I want you to circle the words common good. And I want you to circle the word manifestations. And let's look at the first word, each one. Since you don't have to qualify for the gifts, the Holy Spirit wants to give gifts to everyone. It's not just for the few. It's not just for the traveling ministers or the superstar celebrity pastors. The spiritual gifts are for everyone. God gives to each one. Remember, the issue is not our worthiness. How many of you know what the issue is? Our availability. It was on the tip of your tongue, wasn't it? It's not your worthiness. It's your availability. Then another word I just want to, speaking of common good, that word for good is symphoneo, which can also be translated in a number of other places in the New Testament as advantage. It's the same word Jesus used when he said, it's to your advantage that I go away. So when we are operating with the spiritual gifts, we have the advantage. And when we don't care about the gifts, don't study about the gifts, don't practice gifts, we're in churches that don't talk about the gifts, guess what? We lose the advantage. So we need to have the advantage. The third word is a very important one, and that is the word manifestation. The Greek word is phanerosis, where we get phosphorus. It means literally a flashing forth. A shining forth. So these manifestations are occasional or temporary releases of God's supernatural wisdom or power. Now, when I say occasional, I don't mean rare. I mean that they come on a particular occasion. When they're needed, God helps us by flashing forth one of these gifts. Now, in the next three verses, we're gonna look at the nine gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, these manifestation gifts, these flashing forth, and I'm going to give just a quick definition to each one. So let's read 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. Now, these nine manifestations are, again, releases of God's wisdom and power. And because we are the body of Christ, and he'll be talking about that later in the same chapter with these gifts, because we're the body of Christ, we're a body, scholars, Bible teachers sometimes divide these nine gifts into three categories. That is the hand gifts, the eye gifts, and the mouth gifts. And we'll do that. It helps us keep them categorized, but also it helps remember that this is the working of the Holy Spirit through the body of Christ. So the eye gifts are supernatural expressions of God's seeing or God's knowing. How many of you know God is not limited as we are in knowing things? God knows everything there is to know. And so these gifts are when God sends an expression, a manifestation, a release of something that only he sees and knows. So here are the three eye gifts: the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. The word of knowledge reveals something unknown to you, but known to God. So it's information that God shares with you that you otherwise could not know. Now, it could be, as often we have here, it's a revelation of a physical ailment somebody has. And so somebody might say, I believe God's showing me that there's somebody here that has severe pain right here in their back. And so it gives you knowledge, and then you, if you share that, the person that has that will stand up and their faith will be sky high. It could be about some traumatic experience in someone's past. You know, sometimes maybe if you're working with someone, God will just give you an inkling that you know, they're just stuck somewhere, and God will give you an inkling that something happened. He'll let you know what traumatic effect in their maybe childhood has been the bottleneck that has kept them from going on. The second of these is the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom allows us to have God's wisdom in a situation so that we can know what to do. God's wisdom is so much greater than ours. He knows the end from the beginning and everything in between. A great example is, I think, in the Bible, there's, of course, is Solomon. Remember when Solomon had those two women arguing about the baby? And he said, well, get a sword and cut it in half. Now, both of the women might have said, oh my gosh, that's horrible, don't do that. And then he just would have looked like a fool. But see, God knew the heart of that one woman who was so selfish and jealous that she was willing to have the other baby die. And so God shared that knowledge with him, and he did that thing. I'll tell you a personal example of mine. I haven't shared this much, but most of you guys know my testimony, and I had been in the ministry, and I quit. I thought I had just failed. I thought God didn't call me into the ministry. I quit, and I was looking for a new career, and I couldn't find one. And I was with some of my friends praying. Every door would slam, and I was with some of my friends, and I was praying, and you have to know who I was, how out of left field this was. I all of a sudden had the picture of a taxi flash rod in my mind, and I said, I think God wants me to drive a taxi. Now, you have to realize, I don't think I ever knew anybody who drove a taxi. I had maybe driven in a taxi myself two or three times. This was not in the radar. And so I didn't do anything with it right away. I went and I had an opportunity for another job in Winchnell. Within a week, that job just didn't work out. And so I said, okay, God, I'll go ahead and I'll apply to be a taxi driver. And so I did it. And here's what God knew that I didn't know. God knew that I wasn't done in the ministry. God knew that I had to have a job that I wouldn't be so comfortable in that I would settle into it and refuse to hear God's call back into ministry. God knew I needed a job that would be flexible, that I could work whenever and wherever I wanted and take off any day that I wanted. He knew I needed a job where I could gradually pull that thing back as the church got better and I got more income. See, that was a word of knowledge, something I never would have thought of or done, or a word of wisdom. Okay, the third one is the discerning of spirits. The discerning of spirits allows you to recognize the nature of a demonic spirit operating in a person or situation. Now, how do these eye gifts, how do the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, how do they come to us? Well, they can come in any way that God can communicate to you. And it's often different with different people. In that one case, for me, I saw a picture. You can sometimes get a bodily sensation. Maybe if it's dealing with someone that has a physical problem, you might feel a pain where their pain is. You might feel heat where they need healing. It might just be a gentle impression. Linda's going to be sharing a little bit more tomorrow on using the gifts in evangelism, and she'll be talking about some of the words of knowledge that she got and how they came to her. But don't get caught up in how they come. The key is the fruit. The key is not how sensational something might come to you. The key is what is the fruit when you obey. Now let's go to the three hand gifts. Okay, and the three hand gifts are healing, miracles, and faith. And these release God's power into human need. Now, I want to say this one thing I forgot, and that is, remember, these are for the common good. Spiritual gifts are not given to you so that you can be somebody or feel good about yourself or make a name. Spiritual gifts are given through you. They're not given to you. You'll never lay, you know, you don't lay hands on yourself and heal yourself. I mean, you can lay hands on yourself and pray, and God may hear that prayer, but spiritual gifts come through you. Okay, so a spiritual gift can happen anytime you have one of three things. You have a person in need, you have the compassion of God, and you have a willing person who makes himself available. How many know you always have the first two all around you all the time? There's always people in need, and God is always compassionate. So let's look at the hand gifts. The first one is the gift of healing. Now, this is something many people are confused about. You do not have the gift of healing. These are manifestation gifts. And we'll see that we read that they come as God wills. So you don't have a gift of healing or have a gift of miracles. You receive a manifestation of healing or miracles or a prophecy. You can't just own these things and prophesy at will or heal whoever you want. It's got to come from the Holy Spirit. Now, God can bring healing through anyone. So any one of you can pray and see someone healed. But what we're going to see when we get to Romans 12 is we're going to see that even though anyone can get a healing, healings tend to be grouped with certain gifts. And that so certain people move powerfully and you see a lot of healings through their ministries. And, you know, you may not have a lot of healings throughout the course of your life, but you're going to have some. If you pray for the sick, you're going to see people healed. Miracles is the second hand expression of power. A miracle is an extraordinary act of God, and I left this out on your copy, which defy natural laws. That's what makes it a miracle. It defies natural laws, and it causes people to wonder. I've seen a lot of healings in the church. I have not seen a lot of miracles. One time, Dave and I saw money multiplied in a locked room. We had a need. We needed a certain amount of money. We took the offering. We went home. We counted the offering. We counted carefully every bill. We counted carefully every check. And then we looked at all the change, and we estimated. And my brother, he's told you, he used to work a carny. He's pretty good at estimating change. The next morning, we owed somebody that we brought out to do ministry, and we had to tell him that we cannot pay you. And maybe that's because it was a test on him. But he said, okay, God's showing me that I should just let you guys off the hook. We took him to the airport. We went back to our room, And we decided, let's get an exact count, including all the cash. And it was, I think, over twice as much. And it was enough, so we sent on the check to the guy. That's a miracle. How many know that is not, money cannot appear out of nowhere. That violates natural law. But they're rare, certainly. They're not just coincidences. They're not just, you know, God appointments. They're not just, you know, things that God does. There's something that really defy natural law. Now let's go to the three mouth gifts. Oh, we still got faith. Faith is a deposit, a specific deposit of faith, a burst of confidence that something is going to happen. Now, we all have faith. This is not just the faith unto salvation. We all have faith. Some people develop their faith more and they have strong faith. But this is a flashing forth. This is a temporary or a gift of faith for an occasion or a need or a work. I'll give you one example on that. And that was at how Youth Venture got started. I was in the auditorium one day praying early for youth, for the brokenness of youth. And I won't give you the whole context, but all of a sudden, in a moment, there was downloaded into me the whole idea of Youth Venture, everything. It was all just there. And I knew it was going to happen. And we were a church of about 300 people at the time. And I started sharing what I wanted to do. And people would say, well, how are you ever going to get the money? Well, how will you ever get the kids? And I say, I don't know, but God's going to do it. Now, that was a pretty weak beginning, but I had God-given faith. And now you look at what God has done with Youth Venture. That is faith. All the reasons to think why it couldn't work, and yet I knew through God that it would. So let's go to the three mouth gifts. And these are the manifestations of God speaking. First of all, prophecy. And of course, we know that is a revelation of God's will concerning a particular person, group, or situation. So God reveals a specific his will in a specific situation or to a specific person. The second is tongues. Tongues is a spiritual language that allows us to speak to God in a language where we can bypass our mind. Paul says that when he prays in tongues, he says, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful, or my mind is disengaged. And so the gift of tongues allows your spirit, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to pray to God for things, you know, beyond what you know how to ask. When you run out of words, you don't have to stop praying. And so it's a language that God gives people that they can do that. And it's one of the things you should be praying for if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. You should be asking to speak in tongues. And then interpretation of tongues. And the interpretation of tongues is an interpretation in English of a message given by God through tongues. So tongues are most often used, I choose to pray in tongues. And my spirit is praying to God. But how many know communication with God is a two-way street? And so not only can we pray in tongues to God, but God can choose to bring a message through tongues, in which case you need an interpretation, which is another gift. And so it comes through as a praise, usually. Now, these nine gifts are God's compassionate hand extended to people in need. They don't come to aggrandize us, but they come through us to bring God's help to somebody else. And they happen anytime you're willing to volunteer at the place where God's mercy meets the brokenness of people. Now, we're going to go to Romans 12, and we're going to begin to look there. Romans 12, and we're going to see another list of gifts that you'll see right away at first glance is very different than the 1 Corinthians one. Let's read it. Romans 12, 4. For just as we have many members in one body, each of you a member in the body of Christ and in the body of Foothills, and all the members do not have the same function. Would you all say function?
Function.
Very good. So we who are many are still one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. And since we have gifts, say that again, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. So if prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now, the first thing you're going to notice is that this list is almost entirely different. In fact, there's only one gift that appears on both lists. And what gift is that? And we're going to find out why it appears on both lists in just one moment, why only that one does. Also, here's another thing. The key word in 1 Corinthians was the word manifestation, right? Phanerosis. Each of those gifts were manifestations. Well, the word manifestation does not appear anywhere in this list. Instead, we have the word function. We read, all the members do not have the same function. Function is what a person does. So one gift is characterized by the word of flashing forth, a manifestation. It's temporary, it's on occasion. And the other is function. Okay? And if we get these two gifts, lists mixed up, it leads to being confused. So the 1 Corinthians 12 are just expressions of God's grace for a particular situation. But Romans 12 tells us about a person's function in the body of Christ. Now, I call these function gifts. These are like your job description in the body of Christ. It's what your role is in the body of Christ. They're also called by some people motivational gifts, because these gifts, these roles, they explain why you are drawn to certain ministries, why you are effective in one ministry way more than another, and why you get a lot more joy out of doing that, because it's your gift, it's what you're called to, it's your role, it's what God's put on your heart and what he's gifted you to do. So one learns to serve, one loves to serve in practical ways. They love to bring a meal to someone who's sick or out of work. They love to maybe help someone move or even fix a car. But you know, there's a lot of different gifts they like to do. Another thing, someone else likes to teach, and they like to prepare the teaching and break down the word and bring it to people. There's another obvious difference. So we've seen that the difference between function and manifestation. Here's another very important gift. I don't have this written down, but I'll read to you. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 and 11. Talk among yourselves. 1 Corinthians 4 says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 11. And one and the same Spirit works all these gifts, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. So the first Corinthians manifestations belong to the Holy Spirit. And he gives them where he wills, not where we will. They're given according to his wisdom. I mean, no, it's not always the way we would like it to go when they come. Sometimes you really want a word and it doesn't come. But in Romans 12, let's read what it says. We read that it says, since we have, they belong to us. We have gifts that differ, then let us exercise them. So we have a responsibility to exercise what belongs to us. But gifts of the Spirit don't belong to us. I may possess the gift of serving. I may possess the gift of teaching. I may possess the gift of helps or mercy or leadership, but I can't possess the gift of miracles. I can't possess the gift of healing. Some people say they have the gift of healing. What they mean is that God frequently uses them with the manifestation of healing. They've seen a number of people healed through their ministry more than they've seen with other people. but you don't have those gifts. So let's look at the list of these function or motivational gifts and see if you find yourself here. The only one that appears in both is the first one, their prophecy. Now, I have there what the word prophecy means. It comes from two Greek words. One means to speak, and the other means forth, right? One means to speak, and the other means forth. So what this gift means is to speak forth God's word. Now, in the 1 Corinthians list, it's used in a narrower sense. You're still speaking forth God's word, but it is a supernatural, on occasion, release of something perhaps unknown. But in the broadest sense, here's what it means. It means to speak God's now word to God's people. And you can speak a now word out of the Bible. The key is that your prophetic preaching is bringing, is addressing the pressing need of people today, 2019. What's going on right now? You're bringing the Word of God, the living Word of God, to that pressing need. You're speaking forth the Word of God, and that's what it is in the broader sense. Karl Barth, a questionable theologian, but he did say a good thing here. He said, you should preach with the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in another. So it's different than just teaching. It's addressing through an inspired way the needs of the day and bringing God's word to bear on it. Let's go through the other gifts. Teaching, helping people understand and make application of God's truth. These are people who are very motivated to help God's people succeed by teaching them the principles that they will need to be successful in life, in marriage, and to please God. Exhortation, the giving of encouragement to trust and obey God. How many of you know, a lot of times we know a lot more than we do, and people get discouraged, and they lose their way. Encouragers, exhortation stirs us up. Maybe they don't tell us anything new, but they empower us to step forward and move ahead on it. So we need encouragers today. We need a lot of exhorters today because there's a lot of discouragement in life, isn't there? Giving, the gift of giving, is the motivation to give generously and sacrificially with great joy. And so God often prospers these people so that they can really help. And I'll tell you, Youth Venture would have never been what it is, as well as the church, as well as our building funds, if there weren't people that were able to give lavishly. Leadership. These are all just definitions I've come up with over the years, and I call that the ability to recognize people's giftings and then organize and supervise those people to accomplish God's goal. Nothing gets done until somebody leads. Showing mercy is the ability to reveal God's heart and compassion to the downcast. And so these people are drawn to minister to people maybe who are housebound. They're drawn to minister to people in hospitals, the homeless, people that are downcast and have experienced failure. They have great mercy for them. Now, there's one other list we're not going to look at. Some of you might wonder about. That's Ephesians 4. And those are different because those are gifts God gives to the whole church, not just gifts to function his will to people, but he gives offices, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. That's a whole nother message. It's a whole nother list, so we're not going to go there. Now, we read that the church, let's look at 1 Corinthians 12, beginning with verse 13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is one member. Excuse me. For the body is not just one member. We're all not just hands, but we're many. So if the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, it's not for this reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I want to be an eye, I'm not a part of the body. Verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? You couldn't hear. If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. So the church is the living body of Christ. And so Paul points us to the body because there are some divine design features in the body, the physical body, which mirror God's design features in the church. Here they are. Number one, diversity of function. Different members of the body have different functions. Specialization. So different members excel in different things. Think about your physical body. How many of you know you can move something with your foot and you can walk on your hands? But it makes more sense to walk on your feet and carry things with your hands. And so in the body of Christ, it's the same. There are things that you're suited to specialize in, and that's what God does. And the last word is interdependence, because for the body to function, all the parts have to function and support one another. Now, this is a very important principle, this next one. God works through specialization. Medicine, science, business, manufacturing, everything teaches us that when people specialize, then the whole thing makes great progress. You got progress in medicine because people specialize. You got progress in manufacturing because people specialize. And Jesus makes us specialists so that there will be greater progress in his kingdom. Now, specialization means that some of the 1 Corinthians 12 manifestation gifts, remember those? They're going to group with certain of the function gifts. For instance, you probably wouldn't be surprised if someone that had an evangelistic anointing, if they might maybe see more people healed, or get more words of knowledge. Why? Because their role is to attract the attention and to prove to people the reality of God and the reality of goodness. And so you wouldn't be surprised if they had more of those gifts. You might think about a teacher or counselor. You might not be surprised that they might move in a lot of words of knowledge. God might show them the secrets, the sticking points in people's hearts to help them move beyond it. Or maybe a pastor might have a discerning of spirits given to him, a manifestation of that. Why? Because it's his job to guard the sheep. And so that's why you see different manifestations group around oftentimes different individuals. You know, some people move in one gift a lot. Now, the idea that you hear taught sometimes, and I was taught this, that all people should be able to move equally in all gifts. It kind of violates this biblical principle of specialization and interdependence, where you need someone else that has a different gift. You can't have it all in yourself. And I think this teaching that you should all be able to move at all times and all the manifestations, you know, you'll hear a guy get up on stage and he's world famous because he moves so powerfully in certain gifts. And he'll say, you can all do this. I'm going to teach you all how to do this. And I think that puts a lot of pressure on people. And I think a lot of people think, well, I don't get it. I really want to move. I want everything God has for me. I want to move in all the gifts. I'm trying. I go to all the training and the conferences, but it doesn't seem to be happening the way I want. What's wrong with me? How come I'm not very spiritual? And I think sometimes it's just a lack of understanding of how the gifts operate and why God sends them. And in the worst case, I think some people believe so much that they're supposed to have all this stuff that they start taking their own thoughts and saying, well, that's God speaking to me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And I think it can lead some people astray. No role and no gift, none of the gifts in Romans 12 is unimportant. Each is equally necessary to progress and win. Think about your whole human body. You know, you can have a valve in your heart. You might think the eye is the most important, but there could be a valve in your heart that if it fails, you die. Every part of our body is necessary. It's foolish to wish you had a different gift than the one that you had, because your loving Father gave you that gift. He gave you that place. He gave you that function. And you are needed and you are necessary. We read, because I'm not an eye, I'm not important to the body of Christ. We don't need just one gift. We need all of them. And God wants unity amidst diversity. And so people are very different in the body of Christ. They have different motivations. They have different strengths. They have different gifts. But we can all work together when we love and when we prefer one another in honor. Let me ask you a question. We talked a lot about gifts tonight. Which is the best gift to have? Which is the best? Which is the most important? You know what the answer is? Don't embarrass yourselves by shouting something out. The answer is the one that you need at the moment. Let's say that you're driving out on you're driving out, and you're going on Highway 8 out to Alpine or something, your car breaks down. Who do you want to show up? Someone that has the gift of helps and the gift of helps is the practical ability to help other people, and you're motivated to do it. You want someone that can stop and get your car on the road and enjoy themselves and send you off with a smile. You don't need someone to come and preach at your car or prophesy to your car. Now, we have a lot of people with the gift of helps because we need a lot of help. So you need the gift of helps. You know, you need people to drive buses and, all those kinds of things. They have to happen. They're essential. Now, I'd just like to just finish with 1 Peter 4:10. It says this. 1 Peter 4:10. But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body. That's not what 1 Peter 4:10 is supposed to say. It says this. Somebody help me. I'm blanking. Go ahead. Say it louder. Employ it as a good steward of the many forms of God's grace. As each one has been given a special gift, employ it as a good steward of the many forms of God's grace. You've been given a gift, Romans 12, that the body needs, and you need to employ it. We have an unemployment problem in the church. Too many people are not employed. We need people at full employment. We are stewards. We're said to exercise our gift as good stewards. God holds us accountable. We need to steward what God's given us and use it faithfully and use it with confidence and joyously. And we need to always be looking for God's supernatural help. When we need it, often, God will just bring it. It comes in many different forms, but God can give you the manifestation gifts as you're serving in your function gifts.